Welcome to the Positive Warrior Podcast, where we present and discuss current events involving law enforcement and the community. In our last episode, episode 1, we discussed the warrior ethos from a researched and fact-based approach. Today we will do the same regarding the Guardian philosophy, as presented by the 21st Century Police Report from 2015. So in order to have an actual fact-based discussion on this Guardian philosophy, we need to go to the source, which is quoted in the 21st Century Police Report, as Plato's Republic. And to verify that, you can go to page 11 on the 21st Century Police Report, and there's 1.1, it talks about the law enforcement culture embracing a Guardian mindset to build public trust and legitimacy. Further down in there, it actually says how officers define their role will set the tone for the community. As Plato wrote, in a republic that honors the core of democracy, the greatest amount of power is given to those called guardians. Only those with the most impeccable character are chosen to bear the responsibility of protecting the democracy. Now, on the surface, when you read this, it's a fantastic piece of writing. It would make everybody say, yes, that's exactly what we want. Why haven't we had this discussion before? However, this is a single small piece pulled from this philosophy, and we really need to understand the overall philosophy so we understand how they choose those who will be of most impeccable character and what they define impeccable character as. This is where the Guardian philosophy becomes very scary, and we really need to take a closer look at this before we start pushing it amongst not just our first responders, but society overall. So if you remember, when we did the research on the warrior ethos, we surmised that the warrior ethos can be put into a single sentence as to what its core values represent, and that is a core value of selfless service, meaning service to something greater than oneself. We also discovered that the mission needs to be clear for the warrior ethos to work, even survive. As we get into this Guardian philosophy, we believe we can summarize it as well with a single phrase, and that is blind obedience. Now, the scary part is when you read the overall document, the blind obedience is what's expected from everybody but the guardians. So we need to, again, get into this and take a careful look at this Guardian philosophy and why it has remained a philosophy and not an ethos. So what is this book that references the Guardian philosophy, Plato's Republic? What this represents is a discussion, a fictional one at that, regarding developing the perfect city. We have to remember what the definition of a philosophy is. So they have a search for a general understanding of values and reality by chiefly speculative rather than observational means. So this discussion that we're going to have that creates this Guardian philosophy is a situation that does not exist. It is all based on, hey, let's build what we think the perfect environment is, and then we'll call it such and such. As we walk through this document, you will see even Plato interchanges the term guardian, warrior, and soldier, which really lends a lot to this discussion if we have an open and honest approach to it. So first of all, the guardian, there's two classes. When we really break it down, there's two classes that are discussed in this book, the guardians and the producers. The producers are everybody who are not guardians. That means your merchants, your farmers, literally every other aspect of a community outside of those who lead the community. So as we get into guardian, they break it into two types. There's the young guardian and the old guardian. The young guardian, and roughly they have age under the age of 50 or 55, I believe, those are, oh my goodness, your soldiers and warriors. They are guardians. So the very term that we are trying to diffuse and misinform about is a core component to the guardian philosophy. The other guardians, the ones who quote-unquote protect the city, are over the age of 50 or 55, and they do it through legislation. So what they are is they are the soldiers and warriors who have gotten to an age where they can no longer fight to protect the city physically, will now do it through legislation. So already we have a conflict here with this document to where we realize the guardian philosophy is just another way of trying to reorganize the warrior ethos, but in a manner that is purely beneficial to the guardians themselves. So if you recall when we talked about the warrior ethos, we believe that that is an ethos that's available to every member of society. It really just depends on your mission. That's why we have warrior athletes, warrior illness survivors, and even as we go through right now, passing through Martin Luther King Day, probably one of the greatest nonviolent warriors of our time, he was a warrior. His ethos was that of a warrior. He was doing and serving on something much greater than himself. So this warrior ethos is available to anyone at any time if they're willing to put in the work. This is where we take our greatest separation from the Guardian philosophy. The Guardian philosophy, literally, you have to be born into it to be a Guardian. And here's what the document says regarding that aspect. They talk about the myth of metals. So what this discussion is for is to determine how are we going to convince our citizens of their place. So it talks about those who are born of gold and silver will be the Guardians, and those who are born of copper and bronze and those other metals that are deemed less value will be the producers or everybody else. Well, who do you think determines what metal you're born with? In that section, they continue to discuss how the Guardians will watch all these children to determine whether a gold and silver child has been born from the bronze and copper. Meaning, if we like your child or it's somebody we want, we will take them and claim they have the metals they need to be a Guardian. However, the individual themselves cannot do anything to aspire to that position of Guardian because they have been told they are not born with the proper metal. So already we are talking about a caste system. That is not what this nation is about. If we're going to have this discussion about equality, I think we need to be very careful about the Guardian philosophy because it is anything but equality that they are trying to achieve. They are trying to achieve an upper class and a class of everybody else, and you cannot leave your station once it is assigned to you. So we talked about earlier about this blind obedience aspect. Now, they started off saying that the Guardians should be gentle as puppies and their behavior should be that of an obedient dog. And they go on to say, quote, "Yet they must be gentle to their own and cruel to enemies. When it sees someone it doesn't know, it's angry, although it never had any bad experience with him. And when it sees someone it knows, it greets him warmly, even if it never had a good experience with him." So here we go again, diverting from the very goal that we are trying to achieve in this nation right now, where if I'm familiar to you, I will treat you well regardless of our past experience, simply because we're familiar to each other. However, if I am not known to you, or you're not known to me, and I don't understand your culture, your background, I will be cruel to you and deem you an enemy. This is exactly what we're trying to get away from. Remember, law enforcement and our first responders, we don't deal with the enemy, we deal with fellow citizens. This is another aspect of the Guardian philosophy that should cause some great concern for us. So remember, this is now getting into what the Guardian philosophy actually is and how they will create the Guardians. We're not going to cherry pick this. Now, when it comes to selfless service, the Guardian philosophy tries to get their own version of this, where it states that every decision made by the Guardians shall be for the benefit of the city. However, they don't include the city in those discussions. They don't live among them. They don't eat amongst them. As a matter of fact, it states that they will live separately in dorms like soldiers, and they will have common wives and children in an effort to breed as many Guardians as they can. In the 21st Century Police Report from 2015, there is a task force member known as Susan Rahr, and she's quoted as writing, "Why are we training police officers like soldiers?" And it goes on to state, although police officers wear uniforms and carry weapons, the similarity ends there. The missions and rules of engagement are completely different. That is exactly spot on. We've already discussed that even though we were born from the military, this nation and a handful of others were smart enough to realize we do not want our peacekeepers to be part of the military. They have to be separate because the mission is different. And the main issue of the mission is we don't deal with enemies as police officers. However, they use her to go on to say that the soldier's mission is that of a warrior to conquer. And that's just not true. And it says the police officer's mission is that of a guardian to protect. Well, that is the warrior's mission as well from the get-go. And that's why in this Guardian philosophy, you will see the ones who physically protect the city, i.e. the law enforcement officers, Plato even refers to them as soldiers, warriors. They are the young guardians. They have the title of guardian. And that's where we need to understand this difference between the two types of guardians discussed in this document. So even Plato and even this Guardian philosophy that they're quoting interchanges the term guardian, warrior, and soldier. We know for a fact that the warrior's mission is not that of conquering. That's not this nation's goal. Never has been. Hopefully it never will be. Nor is that anywhere in the warrior ethos. It seems a little bit interesting, too, that we keep looking at the warrior as though an invading force. Well, not if it's your community that, quote unquote, is being invaded. Your warriors are not an outside occupying force. They are part of the community. So again, we're trying to paint a picture that's unfair and one-sided as we attempt to use a word that sounds nice. Now, I'll admit, when this whole Guardian discussion first started, I started entertaining it as well, because Guardian sounded, okay, I get it, maybe that's accurate. However, what happened was the longer I thought about it, the more I used it, the less it seemed like the appropriate term. And the reason I say this is we can look throughout history, who was the guard? What did the guard do? Well, in ancient times, it was mythological. The guardians of evil were statues. They weren't actually people. They didn't actually do anything. Just their mere presence was supposed to ward off evil and evildoers. And as we know, that just didn't work. It was designed to make people feel good. And this is not to downplay folks who are security guards, etc., because it has been deemed for them by their employers, most of them are unarmed, they're not allowed to engage in any sort of way with any conflict, they are simply uniformed customer service folks who are there to call in help. So I want to make this clear, because I know our security guards take a lot of heat for how they are forced to interact, or more precisely, not interact hands-on. They are relegated by their policies and procedures. It is not their choice necessarily as much as it is their mandate to remain hands-off, be a good witness, call in some assistance. So when we look at how we utilize guard and guardian, it is a very passive and reactive form of protection. That's why we got to make sure this is not the philosophy we push for our law enforcement officers. We cannot be simply reactive. We have to go out there and proactively engage the community, engage and prevent crime. So as we dig further into this guardian philosophy, we get the chance to look at how they determine what these guardians will be allowed to do to carry out their mission for the benefit of the city. And one of the interesting parts is it goes into explaining how the guardians will be allowed to lie. Actually, they will be educated to lie when it's in the best interest of the city or citizens. But anyone else who lies, regardless of their intent, is to be punished. That's a very scary thing. So we're saying, hey, lie when it benefits the city, but the guardians get to determine what benefits the city. And anybody else in the city who decides to tell a lie, even if they believe it's in the benefit of their fellow citizens, shall be punished. So only one group is allowed to sell mistruths, and not only are they allowed to, they will be educated on how to do it. At this point, there should be a lot of trepidation about this philosophy, and for those who support it, I'm sure we're getting pretty upset now, and not very happy about this information coming out in this manner. What I can tell everybody, what I ask everybody to do, is pick up this book, Plato's Republic, and read it for yourself, if you can get through it. Now, I read three versions to make sure that the interpretations were consistent, and they were, but you need to read this piece of literature to get your own understanding and realize I'm not making this up. I'm pulling direct quotes from this stuff, and this should concern us. If there's any doubt about this, leaders being able to tell a lie for the benefit of the community, even the community I'm in right now, we have that issue where we won't be honest with our citizens about the crime rate. We don't even discuss the fact that we have well over 30 functioning gangs in this community I live in. The public doesn't know that. That's a problem. We won't have discussions of sexual assaults on college campuses, which, by the way, is why they have the Clery Act today, because the leaders of those institutions, the leaders of our cities, don't want people to associate us with crime and sexual assault. That's scary. We're just not going to tell you it exists because it goes against the picture we want to paint, and we think it's in your best interest not to let you know what's happening in your community. And what we get is one of the most dangerous places to live per capita every year. Looking at other aspects of this guardian philosophy, there's even a discussion regarding censorship of literature and music, to the degree where there will only be certain stories allowed to be told in order to get these guardians to behave the way that they should. And it's mostly talking about the auxiliary or warrior guardians, so that they are blindly obedient to the older guardians or the legislatures. So it talks about censoring stories and music to the degree where it starts discussing we don't want these folks to be afraid to die for the benefit of the city. So rather than letting them have a fear of places like hell or Hades, we will have our storytellers make it out to where neither one of those places is all that bad. Well, the only time a soldier is worried about going to hell or a warrior is worried about going to hell is when they've done something morally wrong. So there's a little subliminal message in there where we want to make it to where these folks don't fear going to a place such as hell or Hades. Makes you question, well, does that mean we want them doing morally questionable things, quote unquote, for the benefit of the city? And the answer is yes. We've already talked about we're going to teach them to lie for the benefit of the city. So again, there's another section in here where they talk about the youngsters of the community, and they go on to state, and I quote, most important elements of moderation for the multitude, being obedient to the rulers, and being themselves rulers of pleasures of drink, sex, and eating. So in this Guardian philosophy, they are saying they demand people to be obedient of the rulers. If there's one thing this nation will not do, and it's the reason we were founded, is we will not be obedient to a ruler. It's not going to happen, not to anybody walking around this planet. So this is a core piece to this Guardian philosophy that we are trying to push on our police officers. And I think this is a very, very tricky place to go if you're even still considering it at this point. So I'm not going to continue to try to pull out all these information. You've got to read this document. What I will tell you is this. When it comes to trying to have these discussions with the leadership in the communities, in law enforcement agencies, all the way up into, you know, FBI personnel who are teaching at academies, have admittedly stated they have not read the Republic, which is the founding document for the Guardian philosophy. They are simply running with a word, the Guardian. And I think this is a mistake. We know words have power. There's words in the English language we're not even allowed to utilize because of the emotion they invoke. We also know that words tend to determine how we behave. Proper word choice can influence behavior. So I ask you, when you look at this as we summarize, the warrior being that of a person who believes in selfless service and the Guardian philosophy wanting blind obedience, I ask you, which one do you want from your law enforcement officers? Do you want somebody who's truly there trying to do what's best for the community above and beyond themselves? You can see their daily sacrifices. Or do you want to engage with somebody who expects your blind obedience, which means you don't get the question, you don't get your moment in court, you get none of those things? This is of great concern. You've got to read the document. You got to pull it out. Take some time. It's a tough read, especially if you're not familiar with philosophy. I know this podcast is going to come across a little more opinionated. There's not much I could do about that. I tried. But this Guardian philosophy invokes a tremendous amount of emotion because it does not reflect the values of this nation. To the men and women out there doing the job, keep doing what you're doing. Go back and better educate yourself on the warrior ethos. Make sure you are teaching yourself and others what that ethos really is, why you're doing what you're doing, why we're here. And remember, part of that ethos is getting out there and working with the community. We believe we laid a pretty good groundwork for the two discussions regarding our first responders, whether they're going to be warriors or they're going to be guardians. Ultimately, that will be a decision made somewhere along the line. Educate yourself. As we continue to tie these things together and look at the core foundations of this profession and having an open, honest discussion, our next podcast will discuss the Pelion Principles, which is the written agreement between law enforcement and our communities. And remember, you have the ability to become a warrior, more specifically a cognitive warrior. Be that reader, that writer, that thinker, and that fighter. And have that clear mission. And in the process of determining whether you are meeting that mission, ask yourself the four leadership test questions. Are you doing the right thing at the right time, in the right way, and for the right reasons? Until next time, stay safe, stay alert, and stay informed. This has been the Cognitive Warrior Podcast, and we want to thank Audacity for their open source podcast recording software. Our theme music is from filmmusic.io, The Descent, by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com, licensed CC by creativecommons.org license. Remember to visit us on Facebook or at thecognitivewarrior.com.